Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com here at Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, go ahead and get some writing utensils, a pen, paper, and take some notes. And at the end of the ministry, if you have any questions or comments, we would love for you to make those advances so that we can all grow by the word of God that is shared one to another as iron sharpens iron. So if you would, join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get started for this evening. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, today we're going to pick up on part two of Strife, the Pathway to Failure. And as I said last time, this is not something that I am hoping that you'll get it the first time. This is a study for life. So I'm going to give you the foundation scriptures that you can go back to and look them up, and the revelation that God has given me, he's not a respected person. He'll give it to you so that we can execute his plan in the earth the way that he ordained it for us. And that's very important. A lot of times we think we're doing the will of God, but there's no approval from God that that's what we're doing. So we want to participate in the plan of God with confidence and assurance. God has a way of making sure that you know that you're on task. You remember that there was a voice that came from heaven, and it said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So God was giving encouragement through the process. He didn't wait to Calvary to say, well done. He was giving him the information the same way he will give it to us as we walk in faith day by day. See, but we have to learn to look for that. We have to learn to expect that, because that's the position that we've been called to. It's in him we live. It's in him we move. It's in him we have our being. And our being is not for just an appointed time. Our being is from now to the appointed time. See? So we've got to be a co-laborer with God, not just going at the end of the day, if you would, saying, give me my hire. Because there could have been things throughout the day that he wanted you to do, but if you're not attentive and listening for those things that he would say, then how can he get them done through you? So what that means is that we have to go find someone else, bring someone else to where you are, because you weren't sensitive enough to hear and move in the faith that God has already given you. Okay? So I want to give you the foundation scriptures so that you can hear a fresh word from God. Not just that this is not going to be fresh, but because God wants to speak to you daily. And it says in Mark chapter 4 that when Jesus had got through preaching on the Sermon in the Mount, that he then began to tell his disciples, those that were with him, those that walked with him, he would tell them, he expounded all things to them. Why? Because he knew that we wouldn't get it the first time, maybe not even the first 27 times. And Paul told us, he said, it's not grievous for me to write the same thing over and over to you. Why? Because you need to get this ingrained into your spirit. It's very difficult for us to live by faith accidents when we're supposed to walk in faith. See? So let's begin to do that and apply that all of the time. One of the things I'm going to do, it's open up the conversations in what my church is, my pastor is ordained and released as LAPS. And the LAPS is, what did you like? What did you learn? How can you apply it? What's your application for it day by day, not just in a religious setting? How can you apply it? What's your prayer or a prophecy, a word from God that would be active that you can use now? What's your oath or your statement? LAPS, like, learn, apply, pray, prophesy, and give a declaration or oath. So we want you to do this, and you write those declarations down so that you can enter into. The Bible says that when you write down the vision and make the vision plain, there were two separate things there. He said, write down, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, he said, write down the vision, then make the vision plain. Why? So that they that see it can run with it. He wants you to give it motion. So the way in the spirit we give it motion is declaration and explanation. You write it down. You become fluent in it. You delight yourself in him. You study that promise day in and day out. Not so that you can try to trick God and make it work, so that your expectation level will be elevated. That's what this whole thing is about. See, we have to remember that we are a spirit. We live in a body. We have a soul. And he's wanting to make you whole, not W-H-O-L-E, he wants to prevent you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. See, we spend more time dealing with the body than we should have. We even spent more time dealing with the mind than we should have. God did not say you are a mind. He said you are a spirit. Those that worship God, he didn't say we're going to have to worship in intellect. He said they must, absolute imperative, worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? So we want to get you to participate in the life that he's already ordained for you. See? Because a lot of times I can see people in the body of Christ that are limping through each day. Well, he didn't make you to be a limper. He made you to be one that is an overcomer. So as you understand that, walk in that, open up that truth, things then get easier because the resistance that we put up ourselves, the devil ain't even our biggest enemy. We are. Amen. Because we have tendencies to function in a flesh manner, forgetting that we are a spirit man. See, we were created in his image. So let's just kind of dig into that. Since I was created in his image, do you think he created his image to fail? If that was the case, then he would never say scriptures like, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. See, he didn't create us to fail. He created us as more than a conqueror. See, and I start from that position. And when you start from that position, then the thinking process, the believing structure that you have in your heart causes you to hear things that with greater intensity of listening that you didn't hear before. That's why he says faith comes by hearing and hearing. He did not say faith came because you heard. Because it's a statistical fact that we lose a major portion of that which we hear before we can even get out of the room that we heard it in. Okay? That's why he told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. For then you will see, observe to do. You will see how to do what's written therein. Then, because you see how to do what was written therein, you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. See? And in the process, he tells you to be of a good courage. In other words, don't give up the fight. Don't cave in and quit. Continue to build on what God has started for you. See, as you build on what God has started for you, you then have the ability to remember, okay? And I'm just giving you some old study notes that you can remember. To remember, the word re means to do again. So you're going to put back together the original member, okay? He didn't tell us to recall. Recollection is always building on your past experiences and carrying those past experiences into your now. You collect broke items and continue to focus on broke items, and then you're going to end up with the same hurt, pain, and anguish. Or you're going to have a position of heart that demands, that's looking for retribution and repayment for pain and suffering. See, God wants you to remember. That means to put back in its original form without any influence from the outside. Okay? To put it back together in its original form with the original intent from the original design. Okay? That's how you remember. Most of us go to prayer, and in the prayer, basically what we say is, you know, God, they did this and they said that. You're not remembering. You are recollecting. And he wants you to remember, put it back in its original intent from the beginning. Because if you start wrong, you end wrong. If you start from a broken position, you keep looking at the position that you're now in and expect that to be your future. That's not what he wants for you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then I've got to position my heart to listen at the word of God so that my future, which has already been written down, which has already been guaranteed, can then flow into my heart and flow out of my heart. Because out of the heart flows, okay, that's good. Out of my heart flows the issues of life. So if you've got something in there that's damming up the works, the flow isn't happening, is it? Mm-hmm. See? So we've got to kind of process from that position. I want to remove everything that interrupts flow. Look at the way it should operate from God to me, from me to others. That would be flow. Anything that doesn't take the pure word of God and let it enter into my heart, and then from my heart comes the issues of life. See, that's flow. But if I'm mad at somebody, then I cut off the flow because it's supposed to go from God through me to them. We were blessed to be a blessing. We were not blessed so that we can hoard it up. That stops the flow. Okay? We've got to begin to process information from God that causes us to be able to let the flow that he desires. He's thinking a whole lot bigger than just you, your foe and no more. He's thinking about all the world. That would require flow, wouldn't it? Isaiah 59, 18, 19 says this, that when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. It's not the way we've heard it, when the enemy comes in like a flood. He doesn't have a flood. He is a defeated, foe, a toothless lion. All he has is a roar. He doesn't have the ability to bring things to pass. He's wanting you to stop the process. And then when you stop the process, you begin to wonder, is it going to happen? You stop the flow in the natural, then you stop the flow in the spirit. That's his whole deal. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It didn't say he shows up and stealing and killing automatically happens. He says he comes for it. It's up to you. You can allow the robbery to take place, or you can participate by remembering, see, putting it back together in its original intent without any eruption or influence from an outside source. This covenant agreement is between you and God. It blesses others when you stay in your covenant position. But a lot of times we will let someone take us off of our mark so that we cannot have good starting point. We end up in a bad starting position so that we cannot win. In him, I said it just a minute ago, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. See? Notice in that he did not say anywhere that because of them you live. Because of them you have your being. See, we got the focus wrong. We pray and complain to God while we're praying on the people that have hurt us. Okay. See, God sent Jesus so that Jesus would deliver us. And Jesus didn't get messed up by us not wanting him to do what he said he was going to do. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to those that did receive him, to them he gave the power to become sons. It didn't say he gave them sonship. He gave them the power to become sons. What is that power? The power to allow faith that works by love to be utilized in every situation. That's why he said stuff to us. We don't hear in the Beatitudes or how your attitude should be. He said we're supposed to pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us. Oh, come on, y'all. We don't. We pray at them. We throw darts at them through prayer. Sick them, God. Get them, God. No, he says that we were called to be a blessing. When stuff happens, he said, I want you to bless and not curse, because you were ordained, you were called to this promise of being a blessing. See? A son would go and say, I'm doing what the Father is instructing me to do. I'm not praying, God, sick them, God, get them. I'm praying, Lord, I ask you to open their eyes so that their heart then would engage and their heart would open. Jesus said they don't know what they're doing. So I ask you, Father, forgive them because they don't know. Please help me, y'all. Come on. He said forgive them because they don't know. He didn't say forgive them because they did this. Vengeance was not on his mind. Being a bridge, an open door, that's what Jesus came and was to us. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. See? I am the pathway that gets people back to God. Please, please, please understand. He says, I'm trying to get people back to God. That's my whole job here. I came to seek and to save them that were lost. I didn't come to talk to them and make them feel good about what they did. I came to seek and save. He didn't say I came to discuss how much pain and hurt they caused me. We've got to recognize, understand, that we were sent here for that purpose. And that would be one of the reasons why we wander around trying to figure if this or that is going to work, because we're not understanding covenant purpose. God didn't have me born by accident. Everything that I would need, according to Psalms 139, was already in me when I left heaven. Not when I got here, when I left heaven. Psalms 139, starting about 1 verse 16, it says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, okay. This is foundational stuff that we're talking about here. If I was already fearfully and wonderfully made, do I need any other modifications? Because we go back to Adam, and in the day God made Adam, in that day he said that it was not just good, he said it was very good. Okay? And you are complete in him. Didn't say, and you're still lacking 5 or 8, 9, 12 things. No, you were perfectly made. See? He made you in perfection. After sin, he calls you back into perfection. Jesus stated it very clearly. Let's remember. He said, be ye perfect as your Father who is also in heaven is perfect. See? So, but a lot of times we will say exactly the opposite of what Jesus, that's in red, y'all. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So he invited me into perfection then, didn't he? Why is it that we've been trained to think that we cannot attain to that perfection? Wow. Well, see, there's so many scriptures because words trigger things in me. Because Ephesians 4 says it very clearly. Let's just visit that one and we'll see where else we're going to go. I haven't forgotten to give you the, I'm going to give you the foundation scriptures. This is a side bar, if you would. Okay? Just to, okay, let's read. Starting at verse, chapter 4, verse, that verse, I'm trying not to go all back to the beginning. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay? Every one of us has been given grace according to the measure of what? The gift of Christ, or what Christ wants you to do. Okay, let's get that. It's not contingent upon your understanding. Let's get the calling first, because the callings of God are without repentance. When I understand it, I get to execute it. But God still didn't change his mind if I never utilize it. Okay? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Again, Paul tells us right over here in in Colossians, it tells us that, like I say, these things, they're tied together, okay? They always function as they should, see? But we keep separating them, thinking that something else is going to be different. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, I'm just putting it back, put scriptures together here. We're going right back to Ephesians, but go to chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. That's one place. We're going to look at Philippians 2. But in Colossians, chapter 3, it says, verse 10, and we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image that created him. See? He called you, he gave you a gift according to the measure of Christ. See? So how dare we slap God in the face and say, I can't be perfect. How is that possible? Why do we do that? See? We've got to begin to understand that God, who began a good work in us, he's faithful to do what? Okay. Come on, y'all. He's faithful to complete it. When did he start the work in your life? Because you are a co-heir, joint heir with him. And he takes us all the way back to in Adam. Okay? So then the work that he began was the work that he started in Adam. Same work. More people, same work. The Ephesians tells us that the whole body, the whole family of God in heaven and earth is named under this name. Come on, go back over to Ephesians. We're going to come into chapter 4. See, we are created after the image of him that created him. And let's look at chapter 3. Paul is talking, trying to get us to understand who we are. And he says, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. The effectual working means that it does not quit, doesn't it? It's effectual working. Unto me, verse 8, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And, underline, here we go, you can start highlighting from this point forward, and to make how many men? Make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus. He said this was hid in God. This was hid in God. We're going to keep reading. He's going to give us even more information. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This was his intent. That's what he just said this was, right? He said that he made us after this image, to the intent that we should be able to make all principalities and all powers in the heavenly places know that we understand what? The manifold, we are part of, I'll do it better, we are part of the manifold wisdom of God. According to, circles come out now, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What kind of purpose was this? This was an eternal purpose. So eternal means from the beginning through the end. And you cannot leave out any part of that. Okay? But a lot of times we kind of want to leave out what he's already started in us. We want to just throw that away because that doesn't seem to work, God. I don't see how I can win because you're not listening to the one that the Bible says the entrance of his word, it gives light. You want to see? Go to the place where the word can enter. The entrance of his word giveth light. It gives understanding. Then he goes on. After we understand, this is an eternal purposed. Okay? Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was so much stuff, y'all, that God was calling for to be in the earth. And Jesus, who created the earth, had to come and restore that which we allowed the devil to take away from us, because then it could not be made manifest in the earth, because he has to have human beings that trust him with their heart. This was the eternal purpose. See, this is why it tricked the devil so. The devil was thinking that if he could just stop the one, he would stop all. But the thing is that if one did it, then it's now available for all. So since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. Okay? The devil didn't see that. He stole the impetus to believe, but the heart of man still always wanted to believe. We desire truth. Is that not what he said? We desire truth in the inner man, in the inner parts. See, God was looking at the inner position of the heart, not because of what you did. You couldn't help but to do the wrong thing because your heart had been coming to the place where it was deceitfully wicked above all things. See? But God, who knew what he created, he remembered what he created with the intentional, with the intent that was original. Okay? See, you were not just recovered out of trouble. Oh, God, that's so good. You were not just recovered out of trouble. You were recovered to life. In Ezekiel, he says, I saw you in your own blood, and I said to you in your blood, live. See? He saw us dying in our own blood. And he said to us, I got a word for you, live. See? So then all the time he was finding ways that we can agree with him, because he knew that we didn't understand it. See, he knew that we would go after flesh and blood responses instead of understanding we are a spirit. Which he purposed, the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. All right, Jesus. So then my access, it has to be on multiple levels. It has to be in boldness and the confidence. Did you get that? If I don't have the confidence, then I didn't understand what he said in Joshua 1 and 8. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Be confident. See? Verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not in my tribulations, which for you, which is your glory. For this cause, this is why I'm doing this, Paul said, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So he's trying to get you to go deeper than just I know something. He's wanting you to get to the place where you know the love of God that goes past your intellect, that goes past your traditions. He says when you allow Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith, you will end up being rooted and grounded in what faith brings. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. You'll be rooted and grounded in the faith that worketh by love. a faith that cannot fail, because a love never fails. See? So then we're going through all kind of things that are happening, you know, a pandemic, and you have people that unfortunately are afraid because they don't know where their answers are. Well, then go back and get your book, please. Go read your Bible. Because you think you have eternal life, and Jesus said, they are the ones that speak of me. The one that overcame. The one that empowers. The one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that's praying for you, that your faith fail not. He has no respect to person. So if he said that to Peter, he has to admit it for me. He's no respect to person. He can't just say, Peter, this is your. And Peter once said, no scripture is of any private interpretation. So then, since we have record that he prayed for Peter, that his faith fail not, and when conversion takes over, then he can strengthen the brethren, that same prayer is active for you. Amen. Of whom the whole family of in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. Okay, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. When I just go back and read it, he's not going to, well now, he's not going to just strengthen you in a position where you can hold on. Okay. That's basically how we've learned to live, just hold on. But he gave you might. Did he not? Did he say that you would be strengthened with might by his spirit? So if I have might, that changes things, doesn't it? Psalms 25. Just flip over there right quick. These are just scriptures again. This is just as we pass by. Psalms, what did I say, 24? 25 and 24. This is just what he wants us to know, think about, function in. Psalms 24. And read the whole thing when you get a chance. Wow. Oh, wow. Okay, I want to start at, start of the verse, but it's a short psalm. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Wait a minute, John. This is something I wasn't even thinking about. But he says he established what is still here while it was in turmoil. Floods. Seas. Okay? So then surely he should be able to stabilize your life, shouldn't he? He established this when floods was happening. Okay. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity and sworn deceitfully. This person shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him. Seek thy face, O God, O Jacob, Selah. Think about that. They seek him. They don't bombard heaven with petitions. They seek his heart. Then he says to us, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. So is God trying to keep you out? If he tells you to lift up your heads, and then he said, and you will be lifted up because you will go to a door that never closes. You will have access into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Lift up your head and be ye lifted up. And the King of glory, what's going to happen? The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So he's going to strengthen you with what? Might. In the inner man. so that you would think like he thinks from the position that he starts from. He starts from the position of he is strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. See, he's asking us, to inviting us to participate in the victory that's already been won. Because the battle's not yours. It's the one who is mighty in battle. Okay? Go back to Ephesians. That verse 17. That you be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may do. Okay, all right. Okay, let's look at the word here. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Did he say that Christ may have a visitation? He said that Christ shall dwell there. When someone lives in the house all the time, they kind of have some voice in where the furniture is going to go, don't they? Because they dwell there. So they can come in and make recommendations and say, this room would probably look better like this. Let's clean this room out and start over. He said, he shall dwell in your hearts. He'll go in. There you go, Lord. He'll go into those places that are full of worry and doubt and fear and confusion. And he will, since he dwells there, he will clean that up for you. He will speak a word that you will hear, and you'll be able to say, oh, good, I don't have to put up with that. Let's clean up the room, co-laborer. Let's put a barricade in front of the door that will not let fear and anxiety enter in. Because I can go to Psalms 91 and be Psalms 91 protected. See? That I can say, oh, yeah, yeah, I saw that, but 1,000 can fall in my right hand and 10,000 at my left, but it will not come nigh me. Only with my eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked, because he's given his angels charge over me, lest I stumble. And see, you've got to be able to have the answer that comes out of your heart. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard. That's all I did right then. I didn't deny what was in front of me. I stopped it from entering into the place where my victory is. I'd rather remember my victory than to recall the events of pain. And if you would, Holy Ghost job description is to bring to your remembrance what Jesus said. He's going to build on what, didn't Jesus say, that upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it? So then if he's going to build, come on, y'all, as he's going to build, that means when I run into trouble, I just say, okay, God, you want to build right here. How do we, what's the first stone that we put down? What's the process of adhering stone to stone? See, I'm going to be a co-laborer, which means that as you're building, I'm going to be strengthened with might in the inner man. And then because of that, now Christ can dwell in my heart by faith, that I would then be rooted and grounded in love. My God, my God. I will be rooted and grounded in love. As I'm rooted and grounded in love, what happens to all of my doubts, fears, worries, and anxieties? Yeah, they gone. Because love never fails. So then all of the things that I need to see by the word, by the spirit, will become active in my life. And instead of me seeing the problem, I'll be seeing one of those seven ways to get out of the problem. Because it says every word of God is tried seven ways. So that kind of tells me that, first of all, I'm not supposed to be in a situation for at least 7 days, because I've had seven different words, seven different ways to come out of that thing. That's if my heart is presented to him by the lifting up my head, knowing that the King of Glory shall come in. The Lord mighty in battle. He has a track record of whatever and zero. He has not lost, never will. Because he goes back to the word that was spoken prior to the offense, prior to the trial. We try to listen for the word that he says after the trial starts. I would much rather you listen to the word that was there before the trial started, because God is a jealous God, and he will not have any other gods before him. Amen. So before I came into the place of being tested, God was already speaking to me about my victory. I was just too dense to hear it. I was trying to hear how to get out of rather than hear what he's called me to. See, when we hear what he's called us to, that would have had to preclude the fact of what we're going through. Is that correct? Just so that I get it. Come on, y'all. He's going to give me directions to get from here to there. Knowing that I'm going to go from here to there, he would know that every step of the way, what's going to come at me. Amen. See? They that trust in the Lord, okay? They that wait upon the Lord, what's going to happen to them? They are going to mount up. They are going to go to an elevated position. In an elevated position, I can see exactly what the enemy is trying to do. I'm not looking through the trial trying to find my God. I've been raised up to sit together with him in heavenly places. So I don't have to try to look up to find my God. He came to me. See? So when we begin to process our information from that position, then we can expect victory, because that's where he leads us. He always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. See, those are things that we've got to remember, put them back together from their original intent, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So then let's just make sure we get rooted. When we root plants, transplant them, we put them in conditions of the soil that help nutrition. Is that correct? So he's saying that he wants us to be rooted in a place where spiritual nutrition is going to cause us to grow. And then he says, not only are we going to be rooted, giving us the ability to go deep, we will spread out, grounded. So, grounded keeps you from falling. You can't lean over. You cannot be blown here or there. You're going to be rooted deep and grounded wide. He's going to say that again right in this verse. That you may dwell, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with not the special saints. He did not say that. He said with all the saints. You'll be able to understand what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, and what is the height. So then, let's just make sure we interpret this correctly. He says he wants all of his saints to know this love, and to know this love by its depth, its length, its height, and its breadth. So then, with that in understanding, what can the devil ever do to a person that understands the breadth, the width, the length, and the height of the love of God? What can the enemy do? Because I did not run out of love in any direction that I can go. Up, down, side to side, back or forth. Any direction that I would go in, his love is already there. I'm not asking a question of where your love is. I guess let's try it that way. Let's not ask where the love is. Let's find out if the love can end. Because if I know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth, I know that it has no end. Did he not say his mercy endureth forever? See? So that means there's no end, is it? So then I will always be in the position of transition. See? Because the love hasn't fallen away. It hasn't run out. So since it hasn't, I understand that, I comprehend that, I just walk in the love. He's always wanted his man to enjoy the all of God. And when I understand the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, that's the all of God, isn't it? See? When he told Abraham, he said, look up. He said, every place, told Joshua the same thing, every place that's in front of you, I've given it unto you. Every place the soles of your foot shall tread, I've already given it to you. From this place, when he started describing those things, there was no way you were going to see the end of the Euphrates when you're standing in the middle of it, because it goes through the whole country of Africa. Okay? So there was no end ever in sight. He will bring that to your understanding so that you will say, no, I need to get up and continue to walk. I need to walk by faith because there is no end to my victories. Every place the soles of my feet tread, he's already given it to me. Didn't say he will give me. Said it's already done. I have given it unto you. Perfect present tense. See? So then, since the love of God is already there, I just need to come to the place where I understand there is no place that I can ever go that his love is not there, escorting me into the place that he's called me to. See, but I've got to stop accusing God with words like, well, God, you don't know what I'm going through. I'll do this one. I'll say it just like I hear it. You might not think God knows what you're going through, but he does know where you're going to. And if you will work with him, he'll get you there. He that begun a good work is faithful to complete it. You'll be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height. And you will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So if you know that this is where you stopped last time, well, he says, when you understand this love, you will go past that. It will pass knowledge. The transmission of information that comes from heaven goes beyond your knowledge. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be limited to that which you can think. Now, unto him. This is the same. We still right here. All this is right here in this same chapter. My God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. See? So that's what you got to know. So he's about to say it in just a minute. And you will know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He says that he wants you to be filled with the fullness of God. Did he say he wants you to go to the end of your rope? Huh? Did he? He didn't say anything about the end of your rope. He says you'll know the fullness of the love of God. See? And so, then he says, because these things are alive and happening, but they're being pursued, now he says, now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So then I would submit to you, if this power is not working in you, then you limit the things that he can do. He attached the exceeding abundantly unto the knowledge of the power that works in you, didn't he? Okay? And he wants this to be unto the glory, to be unto him be glory and honor of the church by Jesus Christ throughout how many? all ages, world without end. Continue to read. I therefore, because he's already said all of these things, he's building. This is the revelation that he's building on. Because of this, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, wherewith you've been called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called into one hope. One hope, y'all, come on, see? He doesn't have a bunch of hopes. He doesn't have a bunch of love. It's one love. But it's a love that will not quit. It's a love that does not end, and it will not fail. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, wow, and that's in Psalm 68, and he says that the Lord daily loads us down with benefits. Daily loads us down with benefits. So then, let's try it this way. Your day will run out before his benefits do. And when you get to your next day, he will do it again. Daily load you down with benefits. Okay. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He knows he's going to have to encourage you, build up your faith, so that you will begin to operate as the head operates, because the head tells the body what to do. See? So these are some of the things you've got to look at. It was in there for a reason, to edify, build us up. Then he says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. All of this came because I said what Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. Well, Jesus didn't leave that out when he kept talking to the apostles. And here's the apostle Paul saying that we're all going to come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro. It's time to grow up. It's time to take responsibility. The word responsible can be broken down that says that you are now able to respond accurately. Response able. You have the ability to do it. Don't tell God you can't, because he made you response able. He made you the one that he wants to make the spiritual wickedness in high places. He wants to make the principalities and powers. He wants to make the things that would come against you. He wants to make it known, the manifold wisdom of God through the church. Mm-hmm. See? That's what verse 10, to the intent that he will make principalities and powers know something through the church. But we have been functioning in strife. I mean, how can we have one? Come on. There's one body, verse 4, chapter 4. One body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all, who is above all, through you all. And then we're going to say, but I belong to this denomination. I'm sorry, I don't see the scripture. One Lord, one faith. See, we took the word of God and caused strife to stop the word from flowing. Right there. I don't care what the agreement or disagreement was. The disagreement is strife in motion. I mean, do you see that? And it's always a pathway to failure. See? Because he wants us to be the ones that speak the truth in love. So I'll give you the foundation scriptures here that you need to write down. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Chapter 17, verse 14. Chapter 18, verse 14. Chapter 26, verse 17 through 28. Chapter 28, verse 25. John chapter 10, verse 10. Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 10. Romans chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19. Romans chapter 14, verse 16 through 19. James chapter 1, verse 12 through 20. James chapter 3, verse 12 through 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. And Titus chapter 2 to chapter 3, verse 8. That's just the study so that you can get it, so that we can all begin to grow thereby. See, as we go through life, we're going to have opportunities to either enjoy grace or endure pain. That's your choice. Proverbs 18:14 is the one that says that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. I love that. It says that the spirit of the man will sustain the infirmity, but sustain the challenge. But if you have a wounded spirit, you can't move. You can't bear. Okay? And if this scripture makes a statement and asks a question at the same time. It asks, do you think you're able to bear a wounded spirit, man up if you would, endure the pain and injury? Well, let me tell you, your spirit is still looking for a better path. If we ever man up, then we usually listen to fleshy tendencies and we ignore spiritual security. A wounded spirit, who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But when your spirit's wounded, can't go nowhere. God has already preordained steps that we should walk in. But a wounded spirit generally stops, feels alone, isolated, and walks in an isolated way, trying to make sure that nobody messes with him. See? Trying to protect yourself. When he said all the time, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous people run into it, and they are safe. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death. That's Proverbs 14:12. So when you can't bear when the wounded spirit happens and you can't bear it, please know that it'll take you. It'll take you to the flesh. You remember Romans 7:19, it says the things that I wanted to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. But it's not me, but it's a sin that does what? Dwells in me. I gave it residence. Just like Jesus wants to have residence, sin wants to have residence. So those are the things that we must really work on. And I said, John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So, again, he can't just come in and steal. He came to steal. Okay, so we kind of got to remember that. And whenever you have strife in your life, strife is the sowing ground for the problems of our life. It's the place that causes division, and that's the place that the devil can enter in. That's why God says it's good, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See? He wants us to really get these things locked up. We become so effective at it in using it. The Word of God gives us the license to take him out of effectiveness in our lives. So then we ask the question, how can we stop this? And how does it expose it? The book of James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 20, gives us some explanation. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when I'm tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So that's interesting. You can put in your understanding the word strife in the place of lust. Because strife is the desire for you to prove that you are right. That is lust. Point blank and simple. Okay? So God doesn't go that way. He wants you to resist the devil and watch him flee. Take the word that says, I'm covering a sin with love. And I know he's going, well, how many times I'm going to do that? Well, Jesus said 70 times 7 a day for the same sin. Not for a new one, the same one. He's already promised this. This is where your destination is already set. These are spiritual executions. And because of spiritual law, they happen on automatic. When you are tempted, you're drawn away. When you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed, you make a way that you should be able to enjoy it. And then lust, when it is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished. Notice it didn't say sin when you are tired of it. It said sin when it is finished. It brings forth death. See? These are automatic spiritual executions. See? In a heartbeat, they can happen. That's why the Bible says don't play with strife. The beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. It says, like one is letting out water. It's just going to flow all kind of places. See? So he says, going through James chapter 1 again, it says, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth. So if he started you out with the word of truth, he's going to walk you through every process of life with the word of truth. Not the word of emotions and how I felt. Not the word of how I think it should be, how I think it was. He said he called us into this place because of the word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so because of that, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So we have to stop strife from taking us down the path of our own destruction. See? We're going to know that if my life, he daily loads me down with benefits, and if it's coming to me, it is a good gift, it is a perfect gift, and it comes from above. So then because it comes from above, that puts my focus back on the above revelation, doesn't it? Not on the in front of me confrontation. Beloved, we can live by revelation. And we don't have to deal with confrontation. Wait on revelation. Because if I have the revelation, then I'll be able to end in my destination. But without a revelation, I have no inspiration. I have no unction from God to help me to decipher how to stand. What we end up with is frustration, perspiration, and desperation. But my revelation will lead me to my destination. Every time, all of the time. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Then he continues in chapter 3 of the book of James, verses 12 through 18. And he asks us, because James was not just writing a chapter, he wrote a book. It was a letter. So he's trying to deal with all of these things that's going to come into our life repetitively. You're going to have opportunities to continue to forgive, to continue to be a conduit of grace and love and favor, because Jesus did that in the midst of a people that rejected him. See? He asked us and says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. Wow. His works with meekness and wisdom. He said, let him show out of a good conversation. So then I'll just ask the question. If I am talking about somebody, degrading and demeaning somebody, is that a good conversation? Probably not. But they deserve it, okay? That he didn't say that. He says, if you are a wise man, if you are endued with knowledge, then your next step is to show out of a lifestyle, that's what conversation means, that's good, your works with meekness of wisdom. So then he said, but if you have envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. This wisdom is earthy, sensual, devilish. For where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. That's a lot to deal with, y'all. He says, if you're going to play with strife, know that strife is not just going to bring strife. It's going to, according to the scripture, it's going to bring every evil work covered up in confusion. For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. So then, here we go. Here we go. So we're looking at situations now that people are confused of their gender. Well, I would submit to you that in order for that to be taking place, there had to be strife somewhere. There had to be envy somewhere. And because of envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Because a person that is confused has no direction. So since they have no direction, they don't have a defined finish line, do they? So then a lot of things that would be off limits to people that understand purpose, they don't have that because they have confusion, and confusion opens up the door for every evil work. So then I would submit to you that when we see envy and strife, we're going to have to arrest it by love. So then I can't arrest envy and strife. I can't stop confusion if I'm demeaning the person that's confused. They ain't got no business, that woman with that woman, that man with that man. No, see, you're not helping. Love did not cover that sin. You're making accusations now. Does God know that the sin they're functioning in is there? You remember the woman that was caught in adultery? The sin was evident. And Jesus did what? He said, okay, let's see. Let's deal with all of y'all that's here. All of the strife that you bring into the place. This was in church, y'all. Jesus was there teaching. They came to church, brought the woman from the bed to the church. And then they say, this woman was caught in adultery, not accusation, in the very act. And then I immediately got to ask, where was the man? If she was caught in adultery, there had to be a brother there somewhere. But they didn't bring the brother. He was probably the one telling everybody how good it is for him right now. And so then that would stir up envy by itself, won't it? Or strife, whichever one. Why you, why not me, whatever. And then Jesus listened to everything they said, and he started writing in the sand. And he said, you who are without sin. That's why a lot of people believe that he started writing the Ten Commandments down. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And then he asked the question, who among you are without sin? And they started leaving from the oldest to the youngest. Excuse me, from the youngest to the oldest. And then he was there alone with the woman. And he asked her, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. I mean, now, if he was trying to look for a place to judge and make everybody feel guilty, surely that was a good place, wasn't it? Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's right there. But he said, no, I'm eliminating in your life the confusion. I am cutting off every evil work. I'm going to allow love to be the thing that's offered to you. I'm not covering up the sin because you're weak. Ooh, thank you, my God. Wow. I'm not covering up the sin because you're weak. I'm covering up the sin because I'm strong. Who is the Lord? Who is this, the Lord of the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Uh-huh. See, he was not doing it because of your, he was not, do you see that? He was not addressing your weakness. He was addressing his strength. The peace that passes understanding. The knowledge, the love that goes beyond knowledge. See, he wasn't talking to her about her strength. See? This is what he said. Neither do I condemn thee. Go your way, sin no more. He had to have given her strength in order for her not to be able to sin. Is that correct? See? It was not about her weakness. He was dealing with that at all. He was dealing about his strength. That's because love puts you in the position to cover. They weren't there because of love. They were trying to uncover. See? But the wrath of man does not employ the righteousness of God. See? So if you're going to do something and expect God to get involved, then as he gets involved, he's going to do it out of love, not accusation. They didn't give you the job, so you're going to get mad at him. Well, you're going to keep running out of opportunities to go forward because you're not operating according to the scripture. You have envy and strife in your heart. Glory not and lie not against the truth. See? For this wisdom is not descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from a God, the wisdom that is from above, is first pure. Then it is peaceable. After that, it is gentle. And it is always easy to be entreated. It is full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. No hypocrisy in it. Not hypocrisy being that you can say it's good for this one, but not for that one. For this case, but not for that case. It's full of good fruits, full of mercy, does not have any partiality, no hypocrisy. And then he says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It didn't say of them that find peace. He put us on the other side of the equation, make peace. Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the ones that are called the children of God. They are the ones that are going to see God, because they are the pure in heart. They're not going to see, oh goodness, they're not going to see sin. They're going to see God because they're looking for him. They're going to find faith that's going to be able to give information that will bring people along in their walk unto victory. I'm not going to just show you what you did, what you're doing wrong. How does that help you find the way to righteousness? Okay? I invite you into the place where I'm already standing. And because I'm standing there free of judgment, you will come that way. Jesus says, I'm the door. Can't get to the Father but by me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Everybody else that's come this way, they were robbers and thieves. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Recompense to no man evil for evil. So when you see somebody doing something as minuscule as cutting you off on the highway, do not recompense to that man evil for evil. But do what? Provide things honest in the sight of all men. He said provide it. So if you're going to provide something, that means you already have it, isn't it? Uh-huh. He said, don't try to do evil for evil, railing for railing. He said, provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. Notice he did not say provide things that are right. He said provide things that are honest. He's dealing with motivation, not action. See? And if it be possible, as much as lieth where? In you. Not as much as you got to go find a way to, no. He says it's already on the inside of you. Provide it. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Romans chapter 14, verse 16 through 19. He says, let not your good be evil spoken of. So if I think I'm doing good by bringing this lady that was caught in the act, okay, then again, what happened to the man? And why would you throw rocks at somebody else when you got a handful of rocks in your hand? He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Let not your good be evil spoken. Let not then your good. In that instance, you know, because sometimes people feel like, you know, I'm doing God's work, okay? If it's God's work, where's the love that covers? But if everybody wants that thing, that issue, whatever it is resolved, they'll think you're doing God's will, won't they? But he says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things that do what? Make peace. Things wherewith we may edify one another. See, it's a different position of heart that he's talking about here. He's not just talking about you looking good on Sunday and living like hell on Monday. This is supposed to be the kingdom of God, which is always in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? What are we doing to grieve the Holy Ghost? By judging, condemning, cutting off? How is the Holy Ghost connected to that? When he's readily making invitations for people to come out of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. But here I am. I'm going to continue to hold them back from the kingdom of God and make sure they are a permanent member of the kingdom of darkness, because I'm going to injure them. Because where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose? Will you choose to act like a Christian, or will you choose to be a Christian? To act like a son when people can see you, or be a son because you've been empowered through the belief that God is going to work through you? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you for your word, word of correction and direction. Thank you, Father, that we have purposed in our heart to grow up in you, to walk a straight and narrow path that only you are approving of. We're not going to do it with hypocrisy, being seen of men to get a reward from that. Father, we just want to please you and invite people into the love that passes understanding, that we would then be full of the fullness of God and able to turn situations around and make things work together for good according to your will. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Well, if you have any questions about the ministry today, this is the time when you can share those questions. Area code 312-330-0024. Area code 312-330-4024. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Area code 312-330-4024. Amen. Glad to have you on the call. And I'm just going to wrap it up right there. Again, I want to remind you that if God lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, just go to the website and look for the donate tab, and you could go ahead and give as God has blessed your soul with truths that would transform. That's what we're here for, to give you the word of God that's able to save and deliver your soul. So with that in mind, I'm just going to say, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Until next Monday, when we can get together and do part three of strife, the pathway to failure. Love y'all. Be blessed.